We love independence, and we celebrate it every year by just blowing stuff up on the 4th of July. Like, we love to celebrate independence, and not only as a holiday, but it's also something we celebrate in the lives of our kids. We celebrate when they can begin to do things without us, right? We celebrate when they can take their first steps without us. We celebrate the day that finally comes when they can go potty for themselves on their own. God bless. We celebrate the day that they get their driver's license and they can begin to drive. We celebrate the day that they graduate and they move out. And we hopefully one day celebrate the day where they begin to pay their own bills for themselves. Hopefully. But we love our independence as people. And I think because of that, many times we hate having to depend on other people. At least for me, I know that's how I am wired. My personal nature, I just do not like sometimes when I have to depend on others. You see, maybe it's because I grew up an only child and I just want to do things myself. But growing up, I played tennis my entire life. And for many of those years, I had the same doubles partner. And he was a ton of fun. He was a great friend. And he was sometimes better than me. And yet, as much as we won and as much fun as it was, I always preferred to play singles. It had nothing to do with him. It just simply was I always wanted to win or lose based on my own ability. I didn't like the vulnerability of having to depend on someone else to come through for me. And so sometimes I think it's because I don't like being vulnerable, but sometimes it's because I feel like I don't like to depend on other people because I don't want to inconvenience other people. Now, you know what nobody likes to do? Move. Like, no one likes to move and put their stuff in boxes and move it to another location just to take it right out of the boxes. And if you've ever invited someone to come and help you move and they've said yes and they seemed excited, I want you to know they were lying. Like, that is the mark of a good and true friend, if they are willing to come and just move your stuff from one place to another. But no one likes to do it, right? No one wants to do it. And so it really is the mark of a true friend. And I think there's a large part of us that just does not like to depend on other people. And so I want you to think this morning, have you ever had a need that you couldn't meet on your own? Like, you could not do it on yourself. And it's not that you've been in a situation where it would have just taken more time, or it would have just cost more money, or it would have just been inconvenient. I mean, whatever you were trying to do, your need would have been impossible without other people. Have you ever had a need you couldn't meet on your own? Now, there is one time I will never forget, and it involved moving. This last December, Emily and I moved to a different home in this community, and I remember that it was like the day before we closed, and I was making sure everything was finalized and done. So I went through the house and cleaned and painted, and everything was as it needed to be. And there was one thing I had put off to the very end, and it was our trampoline in the back. And I'd taken the enclosure down, and I just kind of assumed, I think I can get this on its side and roll it through our side gate. And I have run out of time, and it is not fitting. And so I'm in a panic, like, what am I about to do? Like, if I don't figure this out now, this is about to be the next people's trampoline. And so in a moment of panic, I call some of our college students to come and help me. And they show up. They're like, all right, what's the plan? And I was like, I hope you had one as well. I don't know. And so here we are, like, just trying to solve this problem. And in the moment of desperation, we're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to pick it up and throw it over my back fence into the ditch behind my house. And so we did it. We ran around and picked it up, and we took it to the street. And thankfully, I had moved to a house that was just several blocks away. And so here we are. We take this trampoline, and we're going down the street with it. And this is not a sidewalk operation. This is like full trampoline in the middle of the road. And I actually have a video from that moment to show you this morning. Look at this.
No, there's not, bro. Just don't pay attention to them.
Somebody, I think so. I heard some.
No, there's not, bro.
Yeah,
just
so
pay attention to them.
You can quickly see there's a line of cars stop behind us. I don't know if they just can't get by or if they're just recording us. I don't know. But I will never forget that moment. Like, there's no way I could have done this on my own. I just literally needed other people. As silly as it was a memory I'll never forget. Then we finally got it to our new home. But I want you to think this morning, Do you like to depend on other people? Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but have you ever had a need that you could not meet on your own? And I think we need to be reminded of something we saw in week one of this series, and it's this, is that God created you to need other people. God created you to live out your faith with and alongside other people. You were never meant to do life alone. And if you've ever tried, you know that it does not work. Trying to do life on your own isn't fun, and it doesn't work. Life is simply sweeter and better together and with other people. And I always think about when Jesus showed up and he started his ministry on this earth, that he chose to bring other people along with him. He did not need anyone to accomplish what he wanted to do, and yet he chose to gather other people to form a group and to bring them along for the ride. And those very people that he picked became the beginning of the early church, the church that you and I are now a part of. And so from the beginning, this has been baked in. This has been a part of the idea from the very beginning. We need each other. And I think it's a powerful reminder of this concept from the Old Testament. Look at what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. We need each other. And the Bible is written to groups of people. And the expectation is when you read these letters written to churches and groups of people, that you are meant to read them alongside other people, that you are meant to put the commands into practice with and for other people. It has always been this way. Look at what 1 Corinthians 12 says. Look at what the Apostle Paul writes to us. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. This is a reminder that I am not the body of Christ by myself, and you are not the body of Christ by yourself, but together we are, that I need you and you need me. I need other people. When I am connected to other people following Jesus, I grow in my faith. When I'm connected, I understand more about my faith and my walk. When I'm with other people, I learn from their experience. I learn from their wisdom, from their perspective. I'm reminded in those moments that I am not alone in this struggle that I'm having. Even though the enemy may want me to feel like I'm the only one who has ever, I am reminded there are people beside me who are broken as well, pursuing Jesus together. That it's okay to not be okay, but let's not stay there. When I'm connected, I have a group of people who support and care for me. Look at what Acts 2 says. This is a snapshot of the early church and their community. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. This is a beautiful picture of community, and these people are selflessly giving of themselves for each other. And it's not just their money, and it's not just their physical possessions, but it's also the giftings that God has given each person. Their stories and their wisdom and the things God has uniquely wired them for, they are using to care, love, and support one another. And when I'm connected, I remember and am reminded that I am not alone in whatever life throws at me. Look at what Galatians 6:2 says. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. This is a truth and a reminder that when we walk with other people following Jesus, that the load of this life is lightened, that there are people beside us who will carry it with us. As hard and heavy as the burdens may be, we are called to carry them together. This morning, I want you to think, are you in your life carrying a weight, a burden, a heaviness by yourself? Do you feel like you don't have those people beside you? There is a great deal of support and care that comes when you're connected to other followers of Jesus. But being connected is not just about what others can do for you. It's also about what you can do for others. Look at what Romans 15:2 says. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. This is a command about what you are to do to those you're connected to. The body of Christ is reciprocal. And it's this idea that you have need and you need other people. but you are also needed. There are people in this room, there are people in the body of Christ who need you, your wisdom, your expertise, your story, for you just to be alongside them. Being connected means you have a place to practice unselfishness. In the New Testament, there are 59 one another's. And these are just commands about how we are to treat one another. 59 different commands about how we should love one another, serve one another, encourage and teach and build each other up, how we are to carry one another's burdens. There are plenty of commands about how we are to give, to serve, and how we are needed. And as we talk about isolation, I want you to know that the solution to isolation is about so much more than just being in a room full of people. The solution to isolation is about so much more than just being in this room that's full of people. It's about having genuine connection with other people following Jesus. And sometimes that requires a little more effort. Andy Stanley, who is a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia, he said this. He said, when everyone is sitting in rows, you can't do any one another's. And what he means by that, what he means by rows is the worship service on Sunday morning. He's saying when you sit in rows and when you're in this worship service, there are so many things that are just not possible to do that we are commanded to. And it really is this idea that church, the church that Jesus started, is about so much more than this room. It cannot be reduced to one service on a Sunday morning. It's about so much more. And it's about being connected to other people. You were made to need others, and you cannot live out your faith to the fullest extent just by sitting in this room. You need to sit across from others. You need to sit beside or at the dinner table or across the coffee table from other people to reach the true fullness and depth of what it means to be connected to Jesus' church. And so this morning, I want us to look at one of my favorite moments of this really playing out. And so if you have a Bible this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 2. Now, Mark is in the New Testament portion of your Bible. It's the second book of the New Testament. It's Matthew, then Mark, chapter 2. And we're really going to see the power of what it means to be connected. And as you turn there, I want you to know there are so many deep truths in this one interaction we're going to see this morning. We could spend weeks on this one encounter alone, but what I want you to see this morning is I want you to view this moment and this interaction as a story about Jesus, a paralyzed man, and his four friends. So as we pick up there in verse chapter 2, here's what it says. A few days later, when Jesus again had entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Now we see in this moment, Jesus has already been to this community. And he's performed miracles, and his fame has spread throughout the region. And so when he comes back, there are countless people who want to be near him. They want to see what he's going to do. They want to hear what he's going to teach about. And so in this home that he's in teaching, it is packed to the brim. There is no room left. It even tells us that outside the door, there is another large crowd just trying to catch a glimpse or to hear something. It is full of people. And look at verse 3. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not, and they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd. Now, into the story comes a paralyzed man who is being carried by four people. Now, we're not told much more, but you can imagine that this man wants to encounter Jesus. He is paralyzed and cannot walk, and he and his friends want to get him to the one person that they believe can do something about it. And so they're trying to get him to Jesus. And yet when they get to the place where he is, there's no room. They can't even get to the front door. There are so many people. The house is filled. The door is filled. There's a crowd unlike anything they've seen. And yet, this man's friends don't give up. And I want you to think for a second, if that was you, you were one of these four friends carrying someone on their mat to Jesus, what would you do in this situation? You got all the way there, and then you hit this obstacle that seems impossible. What would you do And I want us to see what they did. It says, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Now, this is why I love this story, because it's so out there. Like, that's crazy by today's standards. That was also crazy by their standards, I want you to know. That's not normal, right? That's something that junior high boys do. Like, we're going to rip a hole in this thing. But I want you to see that these friends hit an obstacle, and they thought, this is not it. We are not giving up. And so they just say, what do you do in that moment? Well, we're going to climb the roof and dig a hole in it, and we are going to do whatever it takes to get our friend in front of Jesus. And it says in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. And I love there that it says that Jesus saw their faith. He saw all of them together believing that he was the only one that they believed could do something about it. And this is a powerful story, not only of the desperation of a helpless person, but it's also a powerful story of determination and the love of others. There are few of us in this room who have ever had to be as dependent on others as this man is in this story. He cannot walk, and he cannot get himself to the one person who can do something about it. And I want you to know this morning that you may have never been in that same situation. You may have never been paralyzed and sitting on your mat, but I want you to know that there is so much for us to learn and to see from this interaction. Suddenly, this man becomes the physical representation of how you may feel right now in your spiritual walk with God, in your faith, in your emotional well-being. You may feel like you are down and out, and there is nowhere else for you to go, and you are helpless. And there's so much for us to see in this moment. And so in the same way this man had four of his friends there to pick him up and carry him, I want you to think for yourself this morning, who is carrying you to Jesus? In your life, who is carrying you to Jesus? When you find yourself in a moment, in a season, in a time of need, who's carrying you to him? It may not look exactly the same. You may not be down on a literal mat, but through their words, through their encouragement, through their actions, who is pointing you and carrying you to Jesus? In the chaos and the storms of life, who is right there beside you to say, I just want to remind you of who Jesus is. I want to remind you of the foundation that we have together. Who are those people? And if you're honest this morning, do you even have them in your life? And think about this story. Think about the friends. Who is willing to fight for you? Who is willing to not give up and to keep going? Those friends could have absolutely said, hey, we tried. That would have been a sensible compromise to every one of us in this room. Hey, I don't know what to do in this situation. Listen, we brought you as far as we can. We're just going to set you down right here, and hopefully someone sees you on the way out. That would have made sense to every single one of us. And yet these friends did not give up. They said, no, we're taking you all the way. And we're going to climb this roof, rip a hole in it, and put you down in front of him. We're going to carry you all the way to Jesus. Who would rip a hole in a roof for you? Who is willing to take you all the way to Jesus, regardless of the judgment or the weird looks or the inconvenience? Who is willing to put in the work and the effort to care for you? Do you have those types of people in your life? Together, we are the body of Christ, and we carry each other to Jesus. And in the same way, you have need, you are needed. And so I also want you to think this morning, who are you carrying to Jesus? Are there people in your life who you jump in for? Are there people who you serve, who you point to Jesus in difficult moments, who you live out the one another commands? The body of Christ wasn't just about what God would do for you. It was about how you could serve others. Being connected is just as much about serving others as it is being cared for. And we want you to be connected If you're in this room, we want you to be connected. And I want you to know being in this room is a good step to gather with other people, to hear God's word talked about publicly, to worship and to sing songs of praise together, to take the Lord's Supper together is a good and important step. But simply being in this room does not make you connected. We have all been isolated in a crowd before. This is a big room, and there are lots of people, and it is easy to fall through the cracks, and some of you may prefer it that way. Some of you want to remain anonymous or to stay hidden in the crowd, but I want you to know this morning, there is a depth to your relationships, and there is a depth to your faith that can only be reached by following Jesus with and alongside other people. And I know it can be hard. I know it can be vulnerable. I know that you are busy with a million other things. But I want you to know that it is worth it. And it is always worth it. So this morning, I want you to just hear the story of someone who is in a similar position. And someone who had obstacles getting in their way of becoming connected and being alongside other followers of Jesus. I just want you to hear his story played out of how his life changed when he finally became a part of what it means to truly be connected to the church that Jesus started. Watch this.
My name is Jack Vreeland, and this is my story. On the first day of my junior year of high school, I didn't feel so good. I kept throwing up. My stomach was cramping. After a little time went by, my parents suggested I should go see a doctor. And I went to go see a doctor. It didn't really help that much. They told me I just had a stomach bug and I should be okay, but the pain just kept staying the same in my stomach. So at the time, I was playing basketball for my high school. And I was playing nearly every second of the game, going up and down the court, and ever since my stomach started to happen, I couldn't run more than two times down the court without just gasping for air and just... So this took a huge toll on me mentally and physically. I felt like I was letting people down because of the play I was doing in basketball, just because I couldn't run up and down the court. So we started going to different specialists. In total, I did 8 different procedures done on my stomach. And at a certain point, I took about 16 pills a day. At one point, I lost 12 pounds in a week. My parents did everything they could do, but at the end of the day, there was just no answers. At this point, I was pretty much just begging for an answer, begging for a solution. And so I got deeply depressed. I was really down on myself. I started anxiety attacks, and people would always ask if I was faking the pain, but I would never tell them why I was missing school or why I wasn't the same basketball player or the same person as I was before. I felt extremely isolated from everyone, and I wondered if anyone would ever have the same pain as me or felt the same pain as me. I didn't feel equal to anyone. I felt like everyone was just higher above me, and I felt like I was invisible to others. When people would invite me places, I would immediately turn it down just because my anxiety and depression were so bad. I didn't never want to hang out. I rarely went places in public because I was scared of people asking me, how is my stomach, how are things going, if I'm okay. Maybe a year and a half passes by and we stop going to the doctors because we realize there's just no solution. And at the time, I was working at Kroger and my friend Jay invited me to small group. At the time, I felt like I was in no state of meeting new people because I just felt like that wasn't me anymore. Plus, I used work as an excuse to never go, but Jay kept inviting me to small group. For some odd reason, I took that leap of faith and decided just to go. When I got there, I realized everyone was just as broken as me inside. People were telling their stories left and right, and here I was, thinking I was the only one hurting. Soon, I started making small group a priority and started moving some things in my schedule, and I just kept getting closer with the Lord. My physical health started to feel a little better, but it wasn't fully healed, but my emotional and mental state was just out of the roof. It never felt any better. This whole time, I was looking for a cure to heal me, but ultimately, Jesus was my cure. It's the best feeling knowing that I have people that carry me to Jesus. If you're feeling isolated, I really want you to know that you are not alone. If you're feeling as if you're the only one that knows deep down how you feel, I felt the same way. I highly encourage you to take that leap of faith and join a community of Christ followers. It's very normal to feel shy to the invitation or to not want to go. But please get connected. It saved my life. I promise it can save yours. Doing life alone is so much harder than doing it with other people, especially with Christ followers, because they can help you with whatever you're going through, and ultimately they can point you to Jesus. For me, I'm beyond grateful for my friends that brought me to Jesus so I can be saved.
I want you to know this morning that you are not alone. And there are times where the enemy may want you to feel like you are, like you're the only one who's experienced that thing. You're the only one who's walked through that before. And even though your story may be different, you may not be paralyzed on a mat, or you may not be able to relate to Jack's condition, but I want you to know that you are not alone. And we and God wants you to come alongside other people, to become connected and live out your faith with others. And you may not feel like you are down on a mat, but I want you to know that there are other people in this room who do, and they need you. You are needed. Just as we said in week one of this series, you are probably more isolated than you think. There is life, care, and support that comes from walking with and beside other people who are following Jesus. And I want you to know our church is built on this truth, which is why we have small groups. And I want you to know this morning that small groups are not just something our church does. Small groups are our church. What we mean by this is small groups is not just one of 10 things that we offer for people to participate in here at church. We really do believe that we are a church of small groups, that it is there that we truly are connected to what God is doing here in our local body. Which is why we start from the very beginning in preschool ministry. We begin to put kids around a table with one another just to talk as much as they possibly can about what it is they're hearing and they're learning. And it goes all the way through elementary and preteen and student ministry into our adult groups. We really do believe that you grow, learn, can be cared for, and serve through our groups. That when you fall down, there will be people there to pick you back up. When you're worried or anxious or afraid, there will be people there who will help you. And in the midst of the chaos and the storms of life, even when there is no solution they can bring to you, they will just sit there with you, beside you, cry, and be there to remind you about the truth and the foundation of who Jesus is. I don't know why this is happening, but I'm here with you. When you're down and you can't move, they will carry you on a mat to Jesus. And I want to be clear this morning, as the small groups pastor of this church, that small groups are not the only way to find this type of connection. You can find this type of connection anywhere that you can connect with other followers of Jesus. I want you to hear that this morning, that our small groups that we offer are not the only way to find it. But they are a good way, and they're our best way here at Brazos Point. And so we would love for you to become connected. You may have people in your life. You may have friends. But again, I want you to know that there is a depth to your faith and relationships that can only be found when you're following Jesus with other people. You may have people who will pick you up and carry you, but will they carry you to Jesus? I told you earlier that I grew up an only child in my life. And so because of that, early on, I had a best friend that God blessed me with my entire life. And our parents were best friends, and so we became best friends. And so for the 18 years I lived at home, I was connected to him for 16 of those 18 years. And we had keys to each other's homes our entire life. And he was a good and a great friend. And yet when I graduated and I moved off to college, God just did something in me. And God got a hold of my heart, and for the first time in my life, I was following him with everything. And he turned my life upside down, and suddenly, as I was following Jesus, God just put different people around me who were also following Jesus with everything. And that community changed me. And suddenly they became not only my friends, but they became my roommates, and they became people who I lived connected to. And there was nothing like it that I had experienced before in my life. And so years later, when it came time for me to get married, and as an only child, I just had to pick who was going to be my best man and who was going to stand beside me as I made the most important vows of my life. And I had to pick, who was that going to be? Who do I view as the person I'm most connected to and I trust with everything? And it was in that moment that I chose someone to stand beside me that I had known for 5 years over someone I had known for 22. And I know that may sound weird to you this morning, but the reason why I was moved to do that was because in those 5 years, I experienced a depth to my faith and my relationship and my connection with this person unlike anything I had experienced before. And it was because the common bond, the thing that brought us together, was Jesus. It wasn't just that we were friends or that we grew up next to each other or we're on the same team or same school. It was Jesus. And that fostered a depth unlike anything I'd ever experienced before in my life. My other friend, my best friend my whole life, I want you to know he is a good and a great friend. He loves me and he cares for me. But the best way I could summarize it is this, that if I was down on my mat and I needed help, that he would jump in and he would pick me up. He would care for me, but he could not take me to Jesus. He could not take me to someone that he did not know. And it was this realization that I have good friends in life, but I need to live connected to those who would carry me to Jesus and carry me all the way to him. And so this morning, I just want you to think about that. And I want you to challenge you. Do you have people in your life who would carry you to Jesus? And are there people in your life who you are jumping in to carry to him? This is what it means to be connected to the body of Christ. And so my hope and my prayer is you would think about that and allow God to begin to direct you to move in whichever direction he leads. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that reminder this morning. And God, I thank you that you never intended us to do this alone. God, every person in this room who has tried before has felt and experienced just how difficult and hard it truly is. And so, God, I thank you for the people you put in our lives. And Father, I pray for those in this room who feel isolated and disconnected, who don't have those types of people in their life. God, I pray you would give them next steps to take. God, that you would push them to step out of their comfort zone and to find them. God, that you would allow us to evaluate our friendships and the people in our lives and just really ask, are these people carrying me to Jesus? Not just picking me up and trying to help, but will they take me to the source of all hope and all life? And God, help us to do the same for others. God, help us to be reminded that you have created this body to need us, and every one of us in here is needed. So God, push us to jump in. We love you, we trust you, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.